Now, if you go back to the first verse that I read, chapter 14 and verse 16, just a few comments on this before moving into the message itself. This is one of those rare verses where the three persons of the Godhead are brought together. I think, for example, of Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, when the Lord gave the great commission to his disciples, he sent them forth, and their mission was to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, the three persons of the Trinity. And then that verse, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14, that is usually looked upon as a benediction, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost. So these are just a couple of other verses where the Trinity, where the three persons in the Trinity are brought together. And you can see here in this verse 16 what I'm saying. Notice how it begins, "And I will pray." Who's speaking here? It's the second person of the Trinity. It's God the Son who is speaking, "I will pray." And then what does he say? "I will pray the Father." There's a reference to God the Father, the first person of the Trinity. He goes on, "I will pray the Father that he shall give you another Comforter." That's a reference to God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And here, the Lord Jesus promises that in answer to his prayer, the Father will do something for his disciples. Jesus, as mediator, will make request for his children. He will make requests on behalf of his disciples. And in the glory tonight, there's one at God's right hand, our mediator, who is now interceding for us at the Father's right hand. He's interceding on our behalf, praying for untold blessings to be lavished upon the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, the Holy Ghost is distinct from the Father and the Son. He is a person just like the other two. And when you study the Word of God and look at it carefully, you will discover that the Holy Ghost is given by the Father and the Holy Ghost is sent by the Son. For what purpose? To aid and to assist God's saints on earth. Isn't that a tremendous thought? That God the Father has given the Holy Spirit and God the Son has sent the Holy Spirit to infill and dwell his saints on earth, to aid them and to assist them in every situation in life. The Holy Spirit is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and the Son, but has a distinct role or function within the Trinity, as all the persons have. Now, the Father, as you know, is the planner of salvation. Salvation was his idea. It wasn't our idea. It was in the mind of the Father from eternity. The Son is the purchaser of salvation. We were singing about the blood a few moments ago. And it was Christ who shed his blood. And the truth is, child of God, he shed his blood for you. And he shed his blood for me. And that involved great agony. That involved separation from his heavenly Father when he became our sin bearer. What a privilege it is for us to know him, him to know his life eternal, that he loved us so much, that he loved you so much, that he was prepared, and he did actually shed his precious atoning blood on Calvary's cross. And I suppose we could say then that the Holy Ghost is the power of salvation, because he applies what the Father has planned and what the Son has purchased. He is the executor of the divine mind, the divine will, and the Comforter is here tonight. Yes, he's alongside us, but more importantly, he's dwelling within us, and his presence is with us now. Pray for the liberty of the Holy Spirit to worship him tonight. Let us get to the cross tonight with thankful hearts. Let us raise our Ebenezer to him and worship him in spirit and in truth, and give him all of the glory for who he is, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the four texts that we have read from John's Gospel. Now, you may not find that word Paracletus that I mentioned last time. You can't see it in the Authorized King James Version, but it is in the original. Four times the Spirit of God is called the Comforter, the Paraclete. And you remember, going back to last week, I said that Greek word Parakletos is a compound word consisting of two words, para, meaning to the side of, kaleo, means to call, to summon, to call. And if you can recall, the particular word that we're dealing with means one called alongside of an individual to aid or to assist that individual as an advocate in court. Have you experienced the Lord drawing near to assist you today? Have you sensed his help this day? Have you sensed his nearness as you've prayed, as you've sought to witness to the glory of God, as maybe you've plummeted to the depths of despair? Have you sensed him drawing near to lift you up? The English word comforter, as I mentioned also, is from two Latin words, com, meaning alongside, fortis, meaning strong. And the Lord has said he will not leave his people comfortless. And that's from a word from which we get the word orphan. And when you think of an orphan, you think of bereavement. I think we've got to retain that particular thought in the translation. It suggests the absence of a father through bereavement. And the Lord was saying to his disciples at this time, when he spoke to them about returning to the Father, I'm not going to leave you as bereaved children in sorrow. I'm going to send a comforter. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit so that you'll not be orphanless. You'll be comforted by him. Last time we talked about the meaning of that particular word, and that gives you an idea of what's involved in this particular word. We've got to move on tonight then to think about the mention of the word Paracletus in the Bible. Now, John uses this particular word, Paracletus, in the original five times. And John is the only writer in the New Testament who uses this particular word. So this word, Paracletos, is found five times in the original. And John uses it four times in his Gospel, in the verses that we've read, verse 16 and verse 26, chapter 15, verse 26, and then chapter 16, verse 7, and once in his first epistle, chapter 2, verse 1. Now, four times in the Gospel, it refers to the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. And then the fifth time in his epistle, it's translated advocate and is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, are you with me now? I trust that I've made it simple and plain and clear for you to understand and follow me. There's nothing complicated here. Just pay attention. Let it sink in. It will do your heart good. Now here in chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Another Comforter? Yes, another Comforter. And this implies that Jesus is the first and the primary Paraclete. That's the reason why he's saying to his disciples, I'm going to give you or send you another Comforter. I have been with you for over 3 years as your Comforter, as your Paraclete, as your Advocate. Now I'm going back to my Father. I'm going back to heaven. I'm going to represent you there at the bar of God. So I'm going to give you another Comforter. So Jesus is really saying, I am the first and the primary Paraclete. Now the disciples were greatly concerned about Jesus' statement that he was going to the Father. But Christ assured them that when he went to the Father, he would send them another Comforter. And that word another, I don't know if you've ever thought about this before. You can't really see it in the English. But that's a significant word. There are actually two Greek words which have a similar meaning and are both translated another. Now, in our English language, we only have one word for love. It covers a lot of things. But actually, in the Greek language, you have maybe four or five different words translated love. Different shades of meaning. It's the same thing when you come to this particular word, another. There are two Greek words which have similar meanings and are both translated another. But there's a subtle difference between them, which is important, especially when speaking of the Spirit of God here. The first word is allos, A-L-L-O-S, and it speaks of another one, but of the same sort, or the same kind. And the second word is heteros, H-E-T-E-R-O-S, and speaks of another of a different sort, or a different kind. Oh, you're bamboozling me, preacher. So down. Explain it to me. Well, let me try to explain it to you. If I have a chair, and I change it for another chair, I can either get one exactly the same, and although it is another chair, it is another one of the same kind. Now, if you have, say, a mahogany table, a dining room table. I don't know if this is fashionable nowadays, but it used to be. And you have six chairs there. And say one of those chairs is broken. The kids have been playing on it, whatever. Somebody too heavy has come in and sat down and smashed the whole thing. Well, you have guests coming, and you begin to panic. So the wife says, I want you to go and get one of those chairs. So you head off down to the furniture shop where you bought the table and chairs, and oh, you can see, there's a one there. The man behind the counter, he knows exactly what you're looking for. He sold you that in the very beginning. So he provides you exactly that same chair. And you bring it up, you have guests coming. Oh, that's the session from Coleraine Free Presbyterian coming. They're coming for a meal. Oh, they've got to have the very best. These men are coming. And so the man brings in the chair. It matches the rest of them. It's a different chair, but it's a different chair of the same kind. Okay, are you with me now? Do you see that? Do you see what I'm meaning there? It's the same kind. It matches. Now, if I go and get another chair, I get down again. I'm in a hurry. I can't get down to the furniture store. I stop off at Wise Buys, and I'm looking for a dining room chair, and I go in my hurry, and I ask the person behind the counter, can you show me some of these chairs? Oh, there's one over there. Oh, that'll do. That's maybe the way I would do things. It's a dining room chair. It's a different chair. It's a different kind. So I bring it home, and I set it down beside the other chairs, and the wife almost goes ballistic. that's not the right kind. That's not what I want. It's different. You see, it's different. It doesn't match him at all. Yeah, take that away, dear. No use. Yes, it's a different chair, but it's a different kind. And the Lord is saying, I'm going to send you another comforter, but it's the same kind. I'm going to send you God, the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And that's the term that is used here, Allos. It's the one that's used in John 14, verse 16. It's a reference to the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is really saying that the Spirit is another of the exact same kind as him. And he will be to you what I have been to you during these past 3 years. Because the Holy Spirit is a divine person. He's the same as me. He's God. There's no difference. So when you read the word another, remember the furniture. Remember a different chair, but the same kind. Or the different chair of a different kind. And Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit is the same as me. I'm God. I'm a divine person. The Holy Spirit is God, a divine person. I'm going to entrust you to his care because he will treat you the way I've treated you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. The ministry of the Spirit would aid the disciples in the same way that Jesus aided them while he was with them physically. The ministry of the Spirit involves more than consoling. I think the word comforter maybe falls short of conveying the full meaning, because we now think of the word as meaning only consoling. Yes, he consoles, he comforts. Yes, this is true. This is part of the meaning. But a one-word translation of Paracletus would be the word helper. I think that conveys a more accurate meaning nowadays. He's a helper. Every day we need this helper. Every morning we set our foot out of the bed onto the floor. We need the divine helper. Every day as we live the Christian life, we need the divine helper. When we pray, we need the divine helper. When we study the Word of God, we need the divine helper. When we face our trials, we need the divine helper. We need his divine assistance every single moment of every single day. For the rest of our lives on earth, we need the Comforter. And I think this is the truth that is conveyed in the other verses that we read of the Comforter in John's Gospel. Let's go to the 26th verse now, and we'll try to get through this as quickly as possible. Notice what it says again. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. There's the Father sending. Listen to it. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, Jesus says two basic things about the Holy Spirit. He shall teach you all things. Matthew Henry will not teach you all things. Charles Spurgeon will not teach you all things. John Gill will not teach you all things. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Secondly, the Holy Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Holy Spirit, according to this comforter, this consoler, this helper, he will teach you, and then he will remind you. He will teach you. And this teaches us that we must be learners all the way to heaven. We'll never know enough. We'll never know it all. Being a child of God is being a learner, learning new things every day. Men who preach the Bible for 50 years don't know it all. They can testify to the fact they're learning new things every day. And the truth is, Please let it sink into your heart. The truth is, the Spirit will continue to lead us deeper and deeper into the truth of God's Word. New converts usually begin to read their Bibles in the Gospels or in the Book of Acts, historical accounts. These are interesting things. There's a lot there in these historical books. And then they advance into the epistles and so on. And that's where they get the meat. And Paul mentions, actually, the meat of the Word and the milk of the Word in two separate Bible books that he penned. 1 Corinthians and the book of Hebrews. I tend to believe that Paul was the author of the book of Hebrews. And Paul contrasts the milk and the meat to make an important spiritual analogy. In his address to the Corinthian church, he wrote in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." So he couldn't address them as spiritual people. He's addressing church members. "But as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ, I must feed you, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it." You weren't able to sample the meat. All I could give to you was milk. "Neither yet now are able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Here's the evidence that they were carnal. Their conduct was not becoming children of God. And because of that, they could not then receive the meat of the Word. "I have fed you with milk and not with meat." I've given you the basics, if you like, because you weren't able to deal with the meat, the deeper things of God, because of your conduct, because of the attitude you've shown to the book and the things of God. The word milk means the basic elementary teachings of Christianity, first learned by new believers. Well, when a baby's born, you wouldn't give to the newborn baby an 8-ounce steak from a steakhouse. You would get the bottle out and you would give the milk to the child. That's a sensible thing. That's the natural thing to do. And then when the child grows a little bit older, then you could take the child with you to a steakhouse and set him down and say, "Order what you want and enjoy that, because you've grown, you've matured, you've developed." There was a time you needed the milk, and thank God for the milk of the Word of God. But there's got to be advancement. There's got to be a moving on, and the Spirit of God is our teacher. And if you've been saved for a lifetime, and if you can't deal with the meat, there's something wrong. Something wrong. Something has stunted your growth. I don't know what it is, you know. But the natural thing is, you go on to the milk to begin with, the Gospels, the Book of Acts, and then you move on to the Epistles. You have it even there outlined in the New Testament. It begins with the Gospels, the simple, straightforward, historical account of the miracles and parables of Christ, and then it moves into the meatier things. The strong meat, as Paul would say. The word meat means the deeper, more complex, more complete teachings of God's Word. So Paul contrasts the spiritual milk and the meat in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 5 verse 12. "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Peter takes up a similar theme in 1 Peter 2 verse 2. "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." So the whole purpose of the milk is to encourage growth. And as the believer continues to grow in the Holy Scriptures, the Spirit will continue to lead and reveal more of Christ and the deeper things of Christ. That the good tree that is spoken of in Psalm 1 will bear the fruit planted there by the rivers of water. And we can use the water there as a type of the Word of God, planted by the rivers of water, taking the water to the very roots and then producing the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, this is where we need to get to. It's not easy getting to that place. It's not easy getting to that place of surrender to the Lord. But this is the place you need to get to. This is the place I need to get to. I'm going to stop and go down to pray. There's food for thought here in what I've said. We have the meaning of this word parakletos. It speaks of the one, the Holy Ghost, who draws alongside us, who gives to us aid and assistance, who's our advocate, who comforts us, who consoles us, who helps us, and in so doing teaches us. And we advance from the Gospels and the Book of Acts into the Epistles. We're climbing. We're climbing. We're allowing our roots to go down deeper and deeper. Do you see that? And the deeper the roots go, the greater the tree grows. And then the branches reach out over the wall like Joseph, bearing fruit for the glory of God. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. You may find difficulty in the place of prayer to pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you to pray. Read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Let it get a grip of your heart. Then when you come to pray, the Holy Spirit will teach you how to pray. And furthermore, not only does Jesus say the Holy Spirit will teach you, but the Holy Spirit will remind you. That's what it says here. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Now, we all have had our devotions this morning, I trust. Can you remember what you read? Can you remember what you read this morning? Well, the Holy Spirit can take that word and He can bring it to our minds when we come to pray. And maybe when we don't know exactly what to pray next, the Holy Spirit might, like a flash, bring that verse into mind, or that particular hymn that you've been blessed with in the past, or some thought of Christ in the Word. He will bring it to your mind, and so that your mind will be saturated with the things of God, it will be easy then to pray. Or you're witnessing for Christ, and somebody asks you a difficult question, maybe in the open air, when a brother stands preaching, some might gather around them, and they might say, what did you mean by that? Well, that may take you by surprise. But if we're walking and living in the Spirit, you see, the Spirit of God can suddenly come to our aid and give to us the very word that we need to give an answer to that individual. We may not have been thinking about it that day, or maybe the week before. It's something we learned years ago. The Spirit of God can take that word and bring it to your mind. It comes in like a flash. And then you're ready to give an answer to the person who asked the question. That's what it means to be living and walking in the Spirit. Saturate it with the book. Saturate it with the things of God. Filled with the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Be that tree planted by the rivers of water, producing the fruit of the Spirit. Or, with this I close, you're tempted. We all are prone to temptation. We all have our pet things, don't we, that lead us astray. Maybe you've come to the precipice. Something has been wooing you. Something has been drawing you. And you're going. You're taking a step in that direction. You've come to the precipice. You're almost over the edge with that temptation. And then suddenly, what happens? Like a flash into your mind comes a promise or comes a situation from the Scriptures. A word for you to fasten or latch on to. A word that will save you in time of need. A word that will bring you back from the precipice. A word that will bring you back from falling into sin. Let's not close our ears and our eyes and go headlong into disaster. Let the Holy Spirit lead and let the Holy Spirit guide and let the Holy Spirit redeem you and bring you back from the precipice. Oh, haven't we been there? And sadly, many a time we've gone over the precipice. When you go over a precipice, you're going to get hurt. And we've been hurt at times. Some of us have got to learn the lesson the hard way. But thank God for the many times we were just ready to take that fatal step, and suddenly the Holy Spirit brought to mind a verse, a promise, a scene, and that brought us back. This aid, this assistant, this advocate alongside us, dwelling within us, has been given by the Father and sent by the Son to help God's people in every situation, whatever situation they find themselves in. I've got to finish now. I'm going to have to come back a third time. God's here. And I would ask you now, as we come to pray, as many as possible, that'll be a different prayer meeting tonight. As many as possible, joining in, even if it's only two or three sentences. Look to the Holy Ghost to teach you to pray, to lead you in prayer, to give you victory in prayer, and launch forth in prayer. Don't let there be long gaps tonight. Get down to the business of praying and the Holy Ghost. He will teach you. And He will remind you of what you should pray for. Let's get down together to seek the Lord.